Just a little bit longer. You know, I know a pastor that went through the book of Genesis, and I think it took him 5 years to get through it. So going through chapter 11 in a year, I think, is probably not bad. But oh well. So I want to talk a little bit about prophets. But in Hebrews chapter 11, let's read 32 through 40. And I think this is where we're wrapping things up here. But this will kind of give us the right attitude that we need to have. And it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel," which we just went through really quickly last week, as well as David the week before, "and of the prophets." So the prophets are thrown in here. "So who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens." Well, that sounds probably like our life last week. I mean, no. I mean, you think you have a rough week? Read this list. Verse 35. "Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." It's not that they're not going to receive the promise. They just didn't see it while they were alive, okay? It's coming. Verse 40. "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." So, let me keep going. Chapter 12. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." That's basically going to be us at some point. We'll be sitting before our Lord and Savior and God the Father at some point. Everything in this world that we work for, that we live for, that we've done here is going to be gone. And it's only what we've done for the Lord and what He's done for us is going to last. Okay? Our rewards are going to last, and what He's done for us will last. And so we need to realize all these guys that went through this, they're going to be rewarded. The same thing with us. Our life is going to be rewarded because being faithful to the Lord. But in this chapter, it talks about prophets. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about prophets today. And so I've got this handout I think I gave everybody. So I just wanted to look at the definition of a prophet. Okay? So Webster's 1828 dictionary says that a prophet is one that foretells the future. Well, that is true. And we can see that in Amos 3:7 and in Luke 24:44. But that's not all of it. That's actually about number three on the list. I would say number one on the list is the prophet's job was to warn of pending judgment to come. Okay, so God would send a prophet to the nation of Israel telling them they better straighten up or this is what's going to happen. Of course, they went into exile with Babylon. They went into exile with the Assyrians. They most of the time they ignored it, but the prophet's number one job was to warn of God's judgment. And you know, that's kind of like us. We are to warn people of God's coming judgment, because if people do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to stand before God and give an account for their life, and they'll have to pay the penalty of their sin by being thrown into the lake of fire. For us, our penalty was paid by Jesus. And if people would just accept Christ, and when they accept Christ, they accept the fact that He died, He shed His blood to pay for our sins, and He rose again. And so Carrie and I was talking about this morning. It's a big deal about the blood. Now, when we lead somebody to Christ, we may not always throw that out there. You know, when you look at Romans Road, it doesn't make a big effort. Well, you must know that Jesus shed His blood, and it's the blood that saves you. Well, that's true, but we don't normally go that far, because most of the time we may be dealing with people that with a limited ability of knowledge. And like Carrie said, if they're not saved, they don't have the Holy Spirit in them yet to give them that knowledge. And so when I got saved, all I knew was, I'm going to die and go to hell because I'm a sinner. Jesus paid for my sins. I'm going to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Boom. 10 years old. That's where you start. And then you start learning on top of that. Okay, now I realize, Christ shed His blood when He died, but it goes way more deeper than that. It goes to the fact, no, Christ shed His blood, and it's His blood that was put on the mercy seat in heaven. That's the atonement that pays for our sins. So yes, He died and was buried and rose again, but yet it is the blood. So when you hear people say, well, the blood isn't important, it is, but it takes a person, it takes a Christian a little while to figure things like that out. Okay? And so, but a prophet warns of pending judgment. If that doesn't, you know, you're either going to get, you know, I don't know if I got scared into heaven or not, but I'm like, I don't want to go to hell. I have an opportunity, and I'll have to, Christ paid the price. I just have to accept it. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. Okay? So, prophets warn of God's pending judgment. And then number three, prophets communicate a message from God to His people. It may not always be a warning. It may be just something He wants to tell them. In fact, we can see that in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go back and look at Hebrews chapter 1, very beginning, if I'm not right. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the what? By the prophets. So God sent a person to give us a message from God. And a lot of those guys specifically are called prophets. Okay? So it says in Scripture, you have a few blanks there I'm going to give you. It says in Scripture that a prophet is a person who is illuminated, inspired, and instructed by God to announce future events. Again, just kind of part of it. Let me give you a few cross references for a prophet also. It's Exodus 7, verses 1 and 2, and 2 Peter 1:21. So, a prophet, let me give you another biblical definition that God gave me when I was teaching on the minor prophets. So go over to the book of Haggai in the Old Testament. Okay, so I'll help you out. It's on page 1141. It's right behind Zephaniah. And guys, I should know all the minor prophets. I'll have those books memorized. I've got them in my head. But if I don't use them every day, I forget them. And so Haggai is right behind Zephaniah. And it's right ahead of Zechariah. So I'll give you, and it's a little bit before Malachi. So it's towards the end. It's about the fourth from the end. Malachi. Okay. So Haggai chapter 1 and verse 13. Now again, I'm giving you this fresh from me. I didn't learn this in college. It says, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message, unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. That's a perfect definition of a prophet. So let me read that again. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message. So you look at that and you go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Haggai, the Lord's messenger. Okay, I get that. But it says, in the Lord's message. What in the world? Do we have a contradiction in the Bible? Did it just not put that right? That's not good English. Well, let me tell you why it's there. Because the prophets was living out what they were doing, what the Lord had them doing in their own life. They're living inside the message that God is giving them to give to the people. Okay? And so, when that prophet would give that message to the people, it wasn't just a message, oh yeah, I got a message from God, here it is, and then walk on. He was living that out as well as the people. So I mean, it was personal to the prophet. And so I can just imagine these prophets with all the message they're giving to the people, and the people are just thumbing their nose up at them, and it's breaking their heart. They're like, you guys don't get this. I'm getting a message from God for me to give it to you, and you're thumbing your nose at it. What in the world is wrong with you guys? And I mean, it would just break their heart. And yet a lot of times they're in it with the people. So it's like they're a part of it. Kind of like Samuel that we saw. Here he is telling, you know, the people are wanting a king, and he's like, guys, you don't want that. You need to put God up there. And yet God goes, no, go ahead and allow it to happen. It's not because they're mad at you. They're mad at me. But yet it hurt Samuel when they wanted a king. He goes, guys, this is wrong. You should not be doing this. He's living that message out when he was giving it to him. Okay. So a prophet is a man chosen by God to speak or write God's words to his people. The message can be for the present, but the majority of the messages are for future, with the focus on the second coming of Christ. So this is very interesting. So most of the prophets had a message to give to the people that was important for the time they lived in, but almost all of them have a second coming reference. So it's basically a double meaning to the message. Okay. So the Lord, going on with our handout here, the Lord communicated to his prophets in three ways. Number one, in person. He'd actually speak to them. Turn over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 4. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. So even though it's through the form of a bush, the Lord speaks to him. So he's speaking to him. Okay, so one of the ways that a prophet would get a message from the Lord, the Lord would speak to him. He heard it. Okay, and then second, it was by visions. Okay, so turn over to Samuel. In fact, it's 1 Samuel chapter 3. And again, I think we looked at this a few weeks back with Samuel. Samuel's quite a guy. You want to learn how to be a good Christian man? Study Samuel. Okay. So 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to go 1 through 4. Again, I think we went through this 2 weeks ago. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Okay, so basically, he calls him, and let's keep going, go down to verse 5, and he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, thou callest me." And he said, I called not, lie down, and he went and lay down. So, I don't know if that's the best verse to use. I probably need to find a different one, because that one's also almost in person. But just take my word for it. The second one was by visions. Okay? And so visions and dreams also go pretty close in hand. Who do you know got a dream from the Lord?
Daniel.
Daniel did, okay.
Joseph
got a dream. Yeah, several of the prophets would get things by dreams, okay? So turn over to Numbers chapter 12. And let's start in verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." So there, right there, you had the Lord saying he's going to talk to his prophets, he's going to talk to his people through visions and dreams. So that was the three ways that a prophet would get a message from the Lord, either in person or in visions or in dreams. Okay. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Okay, so that's 2 Peter 1:21. Is that on your handout? I think it is. Okay, so our next line, God's Spirit is always involved in the communicating of God's Word, no matter how it came. Whether you got it in person, by dreams, by visions, or even in your Bible, it's always communicated by God's Spirit. Which just leads me to say this. So if the Bible we have is communicated to us through His Holy Spirit, and you have people translating the Bible, what is it that they have to be? They have to have something. They've got to have the Holy Spirit in them for the Holy Spirit to work through them. Okay? So if you've got a person translating your Bible that doesn't believe it to be God's Word, how can they translate God's Word?
They'll make corrections in it. That's what they do. That's what they think.
Anybody. I mean, okay, so when the Westcott and Hort came along in the 1800s, and they came up with a new Bible translation out of their Greek rendering. They didn't believe that the first five books of the Bible were accurate or true. They thought it was a myth. In fact, we don't even know if Westcott and Hort were even saved. And I would say, if you don't believe the Pentateuch was truth, how can you be a Christian if you don't believe that? And yet, all of our modern Bible translations are from their translation. So basically, they let an unsaved person translate the Bible into these different translations. Even today, if the person does not have the Holy Spirit in them, how can they translate God's Word? The answer is they can't. Okay? That just floors me. It just floors me that happens. God's Spirit's always involved in the communicating of God's Word, whether it was audible, whether it's through His prophet, or whether it's through His Word. God's Spirit's always involved, okay? Prophets are mentioned in our Bible over 450 times. 450 goes in your blank. 100 times in the book of Jeremiah alone. And there are 49 prophets listed by name in our Bible. Now, you know, we break them down into two groups, major prophets and minor prophets. And the reason we do that is just because the major prophets wrote a lot more things. I just finished the book of Ezekiel. Go back and read Jeremiah and read Ezekiel. Those are major prophets. And then you start getting into the minor prophets. They're smaller books. They're just called minor prophets, not because anything less important. It's just they didn't write as much. Okay. So, let me go through some more of this real quick. Oh, I have something else I'm going to give you. Okay. Many times God used illustrations in the prophets' lives to reveal to the prophet exactly how he felt concerning his people. As a result, many of the prophets suffered greatly. Now I want you to catch that. He used the prophets allowed his prophets to go through hardships and pain to help communicate the suffering that God himself was feeling. Okay? So, what do I mean by that? Okay? Isaiah was told to go around and prophesy naked. Hosea was told to marry a prostitute, because he felt like this is things that was happening. Some of them lost their wives. Ezekiel's wife dies. And God says, Ezekiel, this is how I felt because my wife Israel, basically, is dead. And you're like, whoa. You read that and you're like, so God, you're allowing the prophet to go through things that you're feeling. And, I mean, that's tough, man. These prophets were not wimpy people. You know, a lot of people look at Christians, they look at pastors as little wimpy people. Have any of you seen that? And I know some little wimpy pastors, you know, that they just look like little choir boy. I don't know how to describe them. I'm more rough type guy. But I mean, you might not see that because I'm so sophisticated and strong. But I'm just kind of rough at the core. But I mean, some of these guys, I'll give you an example. I'm getting way off. I'm down at City Union Mission, Pat Lee and I, and we're going down there to do a Bible study. And it's on a Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Why was we thinking to go downtown? Because, I mean, it was scary there. Okay, but we're doing it because people are wanting to come to the Bible study. We're in City Union Mission. We're waiting in the lobby for the time for us to get a room so we could have the Bible study. And in comes this guy. His hair's all greased back. He's wearing a suit. It's all slipped up. I call it a shark suit. It's almost like he glittered. He had shoes on with tassels. And he's just like a little sissy type guy. And he comes up and he tells him, hey, I'm here for this. And he goes, I'm Pastor So-and-So. And I'm here to blah, 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 meet somebody. And he's sitting there and the guy goes, yeah, I'll go get him. And he looks around. And Pat and I are sitting over on the chair. And I'm wearing jeans, probably a t-shirt. You know, Pat's wearing jeans and t-shirt. He comes over and he goes, have you boys been down here at the mission very long? And I look at Pat and he looks at me and we're like speechless. What do we tell this guy? And I go, well, I said, we've actually been coming down here for a few years. I didn't say anything. I don't elaborate a lot of times. I didn't say anything. I think we've been here at least a couple years, haven't we, Pat? Well, I didn't even say coming down. I think we've been here at least a couple years, haven't we, Pat? I go, yeah, at least. And he goes, well, boys, just keep hanging in there, you know. And I'm like, what a wuss. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, if I think this guy's a wuss, what's the guys on the street going to think of this guy? And I'm like, but a lot of people have that mentality, the pastors, though. and church people. Oh, that's the goody two-shoes Bible thumping group. You know, they've got their own little agenda, and it's just them and no more and all that. People think that. We got to not be, and our church is not kind of like that. Okay. We're not like that. I didn't see anybody sitting in there in their three-piece suit on. But people think that, okay? And I don't even know why I got off on that tangent. But anyway, we can't be like that. But these prophets were not those type of people. They were not wimps. They were tough guys. They were like the Rangers, the Marines group for God. Okay, I want you to go in there, and I want you to give this group this message, and bottom line, they may kill you, but I want you to do it. That's the type of people these prophets were. Okay? I want you to understand that. Prophets in the Bible were tough, hardened, I wanted to say Christians, but believers. Okay? That's the way we need to be. Okay? So, again, some of them had to run for their lives. They were thrown in jail. They were thrown in wells. They got their heads chopped. One was even swallowed by a whale. That's the prophets in our Bible. Okay? So, I understand that God used prophets primarily when the nation of Israel was in apostasy. And I really believe that when God sent a prophet to his nation, they were in bad shape, and that they were his special forces to go in to give them the truth, and even if it cost them their life. Okay? So these prophets are not wimpy guys. They are obeying God even if it costs them their life. Okay? That's why today you don't see people reading the prophets in the Bible, because you don't see anybody talking about them mostly. You don't see, outside of church at all, you probably never hear anybody talk about a prophet in the Bible, because, you know, certain people just don't want that put out there. But, so, let me give you seven periods of prophecy in the Bible. And I'm not going to talk a whole lot. I think they're listed. Adam to Abraham, Abraham to Moses, Moses to Hosea, Hosea to Malachi, John the Baptist to the resurrection of Christ, Acts to the rapture, the tribulation. And so, let me just add a note. Now, you're like, well, what do you need to know all that? I'm just throwing it out there. You can probably pick up on that whenever. There will be no prophets in the millennium. And why do you think that is?
Christ is on the throne.
Christ is on the throne, right? Jesus Christ will be on the throne. Okay. So, I'll probably get done quick. The proof of the prophet, your next blank, is his ability to foretell the future. Do his prophecies come true that he says? Now, you can go back to the Jehovah's Witnesses, to Russell, you can go back to the Mormons with their founder, and you can look at their prophecy, and they're a sham, because they said Christ would come back in 1920. I mean, there's a lot of things they said that you can refute. That's what I liked about Charlie Kirk. I saw him the other day. He was at KU, and he's talking to a guy, and this guy goes, "You're a liar. You did this." He goes, wait a minute. He goes, "Give me the lie that I said." He goes, and this kid goes, "Oh, you're good."
Yeah.
He goes, "Are you going to debate? I mean, I'm here to debate." He goes, and then he just told him something nasty, and he goes, "So basically, you're just here to insult me. You can't back up anything you say."
Yeah.
Okay. And so, we got to be able to back up what I say. I'm getting off track again, but anyway. Do we have prophets today? The answer would be no. So the proof of the prophet, I think that's where I was getting at. Their ability to foretell the future. Their prophecies have to come true, because if they prophesy, it's nothing. That does not come true. They're not a true prophet. Okay? Because our Bible tells us to prove all things. 2 Thessalonians 5:21, the Bereans checked out Paul's words to see if they were from the Lord. And the problem with the Israelites, like many people today, was that they didn't check out what the prophets said in order to believe them. They just simply didn't care and was ignored. Same way with us. They'll do that same thing with us. They like to accuse us of things, but they can't back up what they say. So I'm going to quickly get through this, and we may go through it in a couple weeks. So do we have prophets today? No. But because, number one, we have a completed Bible. We have the Holy Spirit that lives inside us. And that Holy Spirit is the spirit of prophecy, according to Revelation 19:10. But let me give you this, your last blank. For more information on the second coming of Christ, we need to read and study not just the minor prophets, but all the prophets in the Bible, because their insight is invaluable. And I'll give you, and I'll back that up by these 12 statements here. Themes of 12 books of the minor prophets. And you can check this out, because each one of the minor prophets has a theme that runs through them. Will give you information of the second coming. So in that while, you've got to read the minor prophets to find out some details of the second coming. Everybody's thinking, well, Daniel has them. But, you know, you got to go to Revelation. Well, you want to study more? Go to minor prophets. Hosea gives us information on Israel's repentance and their restoration at the second coming. That's in the book of Hosea. Joel gives us details on the battle of Armageddon. Amos speaks of judgment pronounced on certain cities at the second coming. Obadiah speaks of the lake of fire in the millennium. But if you want to study that out, go to the book of Obadiah. Jonah is a picture of the Jews in tribulation. Micah compares Christ's two comings, the first coming with the second coming. Nahum gives us details on the conditions that will prevail at the second coming. Habakkuk gives us the root of the second coming. Okay, so why is that important to us? Because we're going to be there. That's the route we're going to take. You want to know where we're coming from, where it starts? Go back and look at that book. Let me see. 9, Zephaniah shows us the negative nature of the second coming. Well, yeah, you kind of know what's going to happen, a lot of judgment. 10, Haggai gives us details on the rebuilding of the temple. So does Ezekiel. Zechariah gives us details of events after Armageddon. And Malachi gives us warnings that will precede the second coming. Interesting. All these little minor prophet books that everybody discards gives us detailed information of the Lord's second coming. We need to study them out. Okay? You need to talk to Pastor Brian and say, okay, besides Revelation on Wednesday nights, we need to go through the minor prophets. Well, don't do that. He'll probably just call me. But so I'll give you that info in here. So that's the prophets. And the next time we meet, which will be in 2 weeks, we'll talk about some of the prophets a little bit more. I'm going to try to get through our study here within the next month or so, and we'll start something else. But the prophets in the Bible are a big deal, and we can learn so much by studying them. That's why you don't see much commentary on the minor prophets. You won't see much commentary on Ezekiel or Jeremiah, because it takes time. You've got to compare scripture with scripture, and there's not a whole lot out there, and people think they're dull, boring books, and there's nothing in there for us. Oh my goodness. If God put it in here for a reason, then it's for us to know we need to know it. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the prophets that you sent in the Old Testament. Prophets that had to go through hardships and pain and sufferings just to get your message to the people. And not only that, to help them get that message out. You even had these prophets understand how you felt so they could help them get that message out. So I thank you for the prophets. I thank you for the Bible you've given us, and I pray that each one of us would not take our Bible for granted, but that we would read it, we would study it, and live it, as well as give it out in our words. Lord, I pray for that. I pray this week, Lord, that what we do would give you honor and glory. In Christ's name. Amen. So hopefully you guys can use some of this information, study it out, and I will give you a little hint. Some of this is HBI material that I'm giving you. So I'm like, you know what? We need to know all this stuff. I'm going to put that on tape.